Hello and welcome to our site as we continue our sermons in the series Biblical Answers to Vital Questions. Biblical Answers to Vital Question. And the vital question that we look at now is, how can I please God? I think that's surely one of the most important questions in the world for anyone to consider. How can I please God? I'd like to begin with a Bible reading. If you have your Bible, open it up to the book of Psalms in the beginning of the Bible and Psalm 89. Last time we read Psalm 85, right now Psalm 89. Psalm 89 verse 1, do you have it there in your Bible? I will sing of the Lord's great love forever. With my mouth I will make known your faithfulness through all generations. I will declare that your love stands firm forever, that you established your faithfulness in heaven itself. You said, I have made a covenant with my chosen one. I have sworn to David my servant, I will establish your line forever and make your throne firm through all generations. The heavens praise your wonders, O Lord, your faithfulness too in the assembly of the holy ones. For who in the skies above can compare with the Lord? Who is like the Lord among the heavenly beings? In the council of the holy ones, God is greatly feared. He is more awesome than all who surround him. O Lord God Almighty, who is like you? You are mighty, O Lord, and your faithfulness surrounds you. You rule over the surging sea. When its waves mount up, you still them. You crushed Rahab like one of the slain. With your strong arm you scattered your enemies. The heavens are yours, and yours also is the earth. You founded the world and all that is in it. You created the north and the south. Tabor and Hermon sing for joy at your name. Your arm is endued with power. Your hand is strong, your right hand exalted. Righteousness and justice are the foundation of your throne. Love and faithfulness go before you. Blessed are those who have learned to acclaim you, who walk in the light of your presence, O Lord. Blessed or happy, fulfilled, the text says in Psalm 89, verse 15, blessed are those who have learned to acclaim you, who walk in the light of your presence, O Lord. They rejoice in your name all day long. They exult in your righteousness, for you are their glory and strength, and by your favor you exalt our horn. Indeed, our shield belongs to the Lord, our King, to the Holy One of Israel. Just so far, and may God bless to us the words of that lovely psalm. How can I please God? How can I please God? This is surely one of the most vital questions in the world. The Bible makes it quite clear that we can either please God or displease him. In fact, the Bible gives a very long catalogue of things that displease God. God said to his chosen race long ago through the prophet Isaiah, "You chose what displeases me." What a terrible verdict to come from God himself. "You chose what displeases me." Well, it's possible to live like that. The Apostle Paul reminds the church members in Rome that nothing emerging from our sinful nature can please God. To the Corinthian congregation, Paul says, "If you are single, you can devote yourself fully to the pleasing of the Lord." Well, that's too late for me. I don't know about you. It's too late for me. So I'll have to settle for his word to the Thessalonian believers, where he says, "Figure out what will please Christ, and then do it." And in 2 Corinthians 5:9, the Apostle Paul says, "We make it our aim to please him." I hope that's the goal of your life. I certainly have wanted it to be the goal of my life. We make it our aim to please God. Well, how can I please God? Oh, to be like Jesus, of whom his Father in heaven said on more than one occasion, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Colossians 1:19, "For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. In the Gospel of John, in chapter 8 and verse 29, Jesus is recorded as saying to his disciples, "For I always do what pleases my Father." Oh, to be like Jesus, to be able to say every day, "I always do what pleases my Heavenly Father." Oh, I wish I could say that. I always do what pleases my Father. Well, as always, the Bible doesn't leave us guessing. It tells us everything we need to know about what pleases the Lord. And so we're going to just look at four particular points this morning. The psalmist shows us that God is pleased when we praise Him. God is pleased when we praise Him. The Lord is pleased with my praise. In fact, we're taught in Psalm 22 and verse 3 that God not only inhabits, indwells the praises of His people, He's actually enthroned on the praises of His people. What a lovely picture. Someone said, "Praise is the red carpet that brings God into our presence and takes us into His." Praise is the red carpet that brings God into our presence and takes us into His. And so the psalmist says in Psalm 113 and verses 1 to 3, if you'd like to turn to it in your Bible, Psalm 113, verses 1 to 3, the psalmist says, "Praise the Lord. Praise, O servants of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Let the name of the Lord be praised both now and forevermore. From the rising of the sun to the place where it sets, the name of the Lord is to be praised. For the Lord is exalted over all the nations, His glory above the heavens." Praise glorifies God. Praise defeats Satan, dethrones self, and enthrones the Savior. May I repeat it? Praise defeats Satan, dethrones self, and enthrones the Savior. So when I'm driving along in my car alone, friend, I sing His praises. When I'm cycling on my e-bike through the vineyards here in the beautiful Cape Town area of South Africa, I sing God's praises. In fact, I do it at the top of my voice. God is pleased when we praise Him. How can I please God? We please Him with our praise. Secondly, the writer of the Proverbs reminds us that God is pleased with our prayers. God is pleased when we pray to Him. Proverbs 15:8, "The prayer of the upright pleases Him." Isn't that a wonderful thing? The prayer of the upright pleases God. Well, we sense that together every Thursday morning in our church prayer meeting. What a wonderful thing to be able to pray. What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. I know I'm pleasing God when I pray from the position of victory that He's purchased for me through Jesus Christ, His Son, by His death and resurrection, His ascension, and present enthronement and mediation. When I remind myself that I've been cleansed through the blood of the cross, raised up to be seated with Christ in heavenly places, far above all opposing forces, united with Christ in His death, His resurrection, His ascension, His enthronement, I know that I'm pleasing God when I take my position as one who's been raised up with Christ and made to sit with Him in heavenly places, far above all opposing opposition. I know that I'm pleasing God when I put on the full armor of God that the Apostle Paul writes about in his letter to the Ephesians, when I put on the belt of truth and the breastplate of righteousness and the helmet of God's salvation, the shoes of the gospel, take up the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and the shield of faith by which we quench the flaming arrows of the evil one, counting on the Holy Spirit's help to pray on all occasions with all kinds of prayer, from thanksgiving to supplication to intercession. How can I please God? I please Him when I praise Him. I please Him when I pray to him, when I pray with a clean heart and a pure motive and a faith that takes God at his word. I please him when I pray with boldness and confidence and full assurance of faith. The writer to the Hebrews in the Hebrew letter in the New Testament, chapter 11, verse 5, tells us about Enoch. Enoch who walked with God, and God took him. By faith, he was commended as one who pleased God, we read. And the next verse reminds us that without faith it is impossible to please God. Because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. How can I please God? By praising him. How can I please God? By praying to him often. Thirdly, by living out the blessed attitudes, the Beatitudes, that introduce Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. We find them in Matthew chapter 5, verses 3 to 8. They're the pathway to happiness and fullness of blessing, says the Lord Jesus. And so if I'm exhibiting these blessed attitudes, then of course I'm pleasing God, because I am in his will and I'm expressing what he desires. So here we go. Live out the blessed attitudes that introduce the Sermon on the Mount, and you will be pleasing God. So let's run through them. I please God when I acknowledge my poverty of spirit, that but for the grace of Jesus Christ, I am spiritually poverty-stricken. In the words of the Apostle Paul, in my old nature, my old sinful nature, there dwells no good thing. But Jesus says, happy are those who acknowledge their poverty of spirit. That's the first step to pleasing God, to recognize my own poverty of spirit. And then secondly, I please him, next beatitude, when I mourn over the depravity of my sinful heart, when I confess with David, the psalm writer, a broken and a contrite heart, O God, you will not despise. When I mourn over the things that break the heart of God. I please God when my heart is broken over the things that break the heart of God. When I mourn over the state of my life, my church, the brokenness and injustice and inequity that saturates and soils and spoils our world. When we share the heart of Christ, his brokenness, over the things that are offensive to God and are so damaging to man, we're pleasing the Lord. We're sharing in the fellowship of Christ's sufferings, and that pleases God. And then thirdly, third beatitude, I please the Lord when I display the meekness, gentleness, and lowliness of Christ. Blessed are the meek, says the beatitude, for they shall inherit the earth. Not the proud, not the arrogant, not the wealthy, not the self-righteous or the self-sufficient. No, Jesus says, blessed are those, that is, truly happy in God and fully satisfied. Blessed are those who are gentle, self-effacing, humble. They are the ones who please God. Humility attracts the presence of God, pleases God. And then, next beatitude, I please God when I hunger and thirst after righteousness. Not wealth, not status, position, not fame. You please God when you hunger and thirst after righteousness in a world of unrighteousness. Well, you pay a high price, don't you, in this world sometimes, when you have to have an insatiable appetite for righteousness, when you expose ungodliness, injustice, corruption. But Jesus adds to this beautiful beatitude another one, which is wonderfully encouraging. He says, blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. So when I am seeking to live righteously by the help and grace of God, even though I might be swimming across the the stream, swimming against the tide, being a righteous person in an unrighteous world, I can be encouraged to know that the reign of God is something that I'll experience. The blessings of God are upon those who are righteous. And then Jesus goes on to teach that we please God when we're merciful. Blessed are the merciful, he says, for they will obtain mercy. So in other words, I please God when, like the Good Samaritan in Jesus' parable, I'm willing to lay aside my own convenience and my own religiosity and cross over to the other side to people who are wounded, people who are deprived and disadvantaged, people who are needing help. In other words, when I obey the second commandment, we please the Lord when we love our neighbor as we love ourselves. The other day here in Fishhook, on the borders of the great city of Cape Town, I spent the best part of a morning just going through and enjoying a conducted tour of all the ministries of the Living Hope organization, bringing hope and breaking despair, playing a vital role in prevention and care and treatment and support of people infected and affected by HIV and AIDS and other chronic illnesses, and undertaking community development, education, social, health-related programs and so on. In fact, Living Hope here in Fishhook have 52 programs at the moment that are helping in the healing and upliftment of people day by day. What a wonderful blessing. That pleases God. I please the Lord when I am merciful, showing acts of mercy to those in need of one kind or another. And then Jesus shows that we please God when we have a pure heart, a heart like Christ's, a heart free of unconfessed sin, a heart free of anger and rancor and envy and lust or hypocrisy. Blessed are the pure in heart, says Jesus, for they shall see God. Oh, what a wonderful thing to have a pure heart before the Lord, a heart that is cleansed through the blood of Jesus, a heart that is sanctified by the Holy Spirit and the Word of God. I just think of Charles Wesley's great hymn, I hope this is your prayer as it's mine today. Oh, for a heart to praise my God, a heart from sin set free, a heart that always feels the blood so freely shed for me, a heart resigned, submissive, meek, my great Redeemer's throne, where only Christ is heard to speak, where Jesus reigns alone. A humble, holy, contrite heart, believing, true, and clean, which neither life nor death can part from him that dwells within. A heart in every thought renewed, a heart full of love divine, perfect and right and pure and good, a copy, Lord, of thine. Thy nature, gracious Lord, impart. Come quickly from above. Write thy new name upon my heart, thy new best name of love. How can we please God, dear friend? We please him with our praise, bringing to him the glory that is due to his name. We please him with our prayers. We please him when we live out the timeless principles of the Beatitudes, which sum up really all the teachings of Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount. And then fourthly, we please God by making the most of every opportunity. We please God when we make the most of every opportunity for Christ. Ephesians 5:16, the Apostle Paul teaches that, the authorized rendering, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Don't be unwise, he says, but be wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. When I was being trained as a young executive at 21 years of age, I, like every trainee executive, was taught to have a good work ethic. I was told in no uncertain terms, in fact, that I was not to waste time, especially company time. 8 a.m. to 1 p.m. and then 2 p.m. to 5 p.m. Monday to Friday was not my time. It was company time. As Christians, we live in God's time. Time is a gift from God. We all have the same amount of time in every day. and we live on God's timetable, or so we should. We cannot control the number of hours in each day, but, friend, it is possible to waste time, and don't we all know it? And it is possible to waste opportunities that we'll never get again, opportunities to bear witness to Jesus Christ. Every one of us is commanded to redeem the time, because the days are evil. They're also numbered. Life is so short. I have turned 80 years of age now. I wonder how long I have left to work for the Lord. I ask that question every day, and of course only God knows the answer. How long do I have to still work for the Lord? The night's coming when no one can work, Jesus said. So we are to redeem the time. We're to make the most of every opportunity God gives us day by day, to love the Lord, to love our neighbor, to love people, to make disciples, to reach out in love. Help me, Lord, to make the most of every opportunity. Every opportunity you give me to be a blessing to others and to share the gospel. I have a colleague in ministry who's known for the fact that he never misses an opportunity to share the love of Christ with others. The other day he met with a little group of men, all professing Christians, and said, well, let's close our time in prayer and let's just have a round of prayer. And as they had a round of prayer, it got to person number four, and that person didn't pray. And so my friend, right there and then, with such a loving attitude, said, I wonder if you'd mind me just asking you a question. And he asked him a question about his spiritual life and where he was spiritually in his relationship with the Lord. And the person couldn't answer, but said, I would like to have the relationship with Jesus that you men have. And right there and then, my friend shared the good news about Christ, that right there and then, this dear man could open his heart to the Lord and be born again and become a child of God. And he did, as my friend led him in a prayer of commitment to Jesus Christ. Oh, if you've never done that, why not do it today? Don't miss opportunities. The famous preacher of a bygone day, D.L. Moody, who preached in Chicago and who held evangelistic crusades in several countries, D.L. Moody preached in his church one night in Chicago, and at the end of his sermon, he said, I have challenged you to commit your lives to Christ, and if this is something that you've not done before, I want you to go away and think about it this week, and then come back again next Sunday and settle that question. It wasn't long after that that the Chicago fire broke out and destroyed much of the city, and many people were killed. D.L. Moody regretted for the rest of his life the fact that he hadn't pressed for a decision and a commitment from unbelievers that very night. That very night that he preached and sent people away to think about it for another week, it was too late for some of the people who had been in his congregation that very night. For a few hours later, some of them perished in the Chicago fire. And so, I want to offer to you today the opportunity to respond to Christ if you've never done so. How do we please God? Well, one of the ways we please Him is by making the most of every opportunity. Don't miss another opportunity if you're not sure of your salvation, if you're not sure of your relationship with the Lord. Why not settle that now? The Bible says today is the day of salvation. Today, if you hear His voice, don't harden your life, harden your heart and end up in a spiritual wilderness, perhaps end up eternally lost. You know, friend, this fourth revolution, this technological revolution, has left me way behind. But with all the amazing advantages of technology, are we redeeming the time? That's the question that I'd like to leave with you right now. I wonder with all our technology and all our advances and all our knowledge and all our busyness, I wonder if some of us are actually achieving, for example, anything like what William Carey achieved, the father of modern missions. What he accomplished in 41 years when he was in India as a missionary is astounding. Listen to this. William Carey, his comprehensive approach to missions included evangelization, church planting, and Bible translation, but also included working for social reform. He established schools, hospitals, and a savings bank, founded the Agricultural and Horticultural Society of India, started a Bengali newspaper, and supervised the start of India's first printing press, paper mill, and steam engine. He also taught languages at a local college, wrote a Bengali-English dictionary, and founded the first Christian college in Asia. In all, William Carey translated the complete Bible into 6 languages, and portions of it into 29 others. He expected great things from God, and he attempted great things for God, and God brought them to pass. What an amazing example of what it means to redeem the time, making the most of every opportunity for Christ. Oh, friend, life goes by so quickly. Don't waste time day by day. We're not William Carey's, but we all have the same hours in the day. How are we using them? We please God then by redeeming the time, using our time wisely, in the knowledge that wasted time and missed opportunities can never be recovered. The answer is to obey what the Apostle Paul goes on to tell the Ephesian Christians, be filled with the Holy Spirit. To the Galatian Christians, walk in the Spirit. Keep in step with what the Spirit of God is saying and doing. Don't feed the flesh, feed the Spirit. Allow the Holy Spirit of Jesus to empower you, guide you, counsel you, teach you, and lead you. That's how you please God. Paul tells us how to do that after his commandment to be filled with the Holy Spirit and controlled by him. Read about it in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18 onwards. He goes on to speak about what pleases God in the behavior of husbands, wives, children, employers, employees, how to fulfill your God-given calling in reverence for Christ. That's what pleases the Lord. When husbands and wives love each other like Christ loves the church, when children obey their parents and employers and employees glorify God in the way they conduct themselves, with integrity and humility and respect. I love the Apostle Paul's word to the Thessalonian Christians. We instructed you how to live in order to please God. We instructed you how to live in order to please God. 1 Thessalonians 4:1. How to live in order to please God. All of the Apostles' teaching had that one goal in mind, to teach his disciples how to live in order to please God. How are you doing on that score? What is your answer to that question? Let's draw this message to a close now. As we hear the word of the Lord today, dear friend, is there anything that we need to change? Anything I need to change? Anything you need to change in order to live a life that pleases God, the most important thing in the world? Am I pleasing God with a life of unbridled praise? Am I pleasing God with a life of unceasing and prevailing prayer? Am I pleasing God with a life that reflects each one of the Beatitudes in the Sermon on the Mount? Am I pleasing him by making the most of every opportunity that he places before me each day to grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus and to share the love of God with others? Am I redeeming the time at my disposal every day or wasting it on things that have nothing to do with the honor of God's name or the advance of his kingdom, things of eternal worth? Am I laying up treasure in heaven or am I laying up treasure on earth? Is there something that needs to change before I waste another day doing what displeases the Lord? How can I please God? How can you please God? Let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you today for this simple word that gives us a Bible answer to this vital question. How can we please you, Lord? Thank you that we can please you with our praise. Thank you that we can please you with our prayers. Thank you that we can please you as we live a Christ-like life. Thank you that we can please you, Lord, as we make the most of every opportunity that you give to us. I pray for every person listening and ask, dear Father, that you would help each one to be able to please you in their lives from this day on until they see you face to face. And may we all be able to hear your voice saying to us when we stand before you one day in the judgment, "Well done, good and faithful servant." Help us to be like the Lord Jesus, who at the end of his short ministry of 3.5 years was able to say, "Father, I have glorified you on the earth. I have finished the work that you gave me to do." Help us to be like Jesus, who told his disciples, "I always do what pleases my heavenly Father." May it be so in his name. And now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, our heavenly Father, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all evermore. Amen.